For more MMA fight predictions, analysis, and insight, check out MMALockup.com.
Welcome back to MMA Lockup. I'm Chris Matthews, alongside co-host Dennis Barger, producer Jeremy Hertz. Gentlemen, a lot happened over the past weekend. We just spoke about the Ultimate Fighter that happened. The big event was UFC 145. John Bones Jones took on Rashad Evans. It's the fight everybody'd been waiting for over a year. Dennis, take us from the main card. The first fight, let's break it down. This was an event that had a lot of excitement to it, and we'll go from there.
Well, it did, and the first fight on the main card was Mark Bocek versus John Alessio. This is one of the fights that I think it was a good fight, but I don't know in the lasting memory, it doesn't stand out to me as much as some other fights did on the card. Does anybody else have any remembrances of that fight that stand out to them?
Not really. The people that were over at the house that hadn't really watched UFC asked some questions about the ginger. That's about all I'll probably take away from that fight.
Gotcha. Well, for those that didn't watch and haven't read, Bocek defeated D'Alessio via unanimous decision. He had, he was 30-27, 29-28, 30-27 on the cards. So I think it was I think it was easily called for Bocek. I think I had him in that fight as well.
It was pretty stock. I don't mean to insult Bocek in any way, but it's pretty much what you expect from a Mark Bocek fight. He's going to come out and he's going to grind you. And that's just what the kid does.
Right. Yeah. He's a Clay Guida type fighter, I would say. I mean, he just, excessive pressure, always shooting takedowns, good dominant hip control on the bottom. I mean, it is what it is. Okay. Next fight up, this one we all got wrong. Mark Hominick versus Eddie Egan.
Well, I actually asked Loretta Hunt if this is more of a tune-up fight for Mark Hominick, and I believe she actually thought it was, but at the same time, it could have been an opponent that posed some real threats to him. That's, in fact, what happened. You look at this fight, the first 2 minutes, Mark Hominick did not have any type of answer for his opponent, just did not. But his opponent would wear down after the first 2 minutes, and he had all the success in the world. Got dropped the first 2 minutes, both the first and second round. I thought the third round that Mark Hominick would take something from the first couple rounds, but was he hurt that bad the first couple rounds that he couldn't put two and two together? Because he went right back in the third round, tried to get him some. And in my opinion, I think he won that fight at the very end by controlling that last round.
Well, the problem is if this was in Pride, he would have won the fight. The problem, you know, because it's not a round by round point system in Pride. They judge the fight in its totality. He was definitely taking it to Yagan towards the end of the fight. But the problem for Mark Hominick is maybe he needs to fight a different opponent backstage for two rounds before every fight so that he can come out. Because it doesn't seem like he can fight until he gets his bell rung a couple times. And then, you know, like Jose Aldo, he got it kind of taken to him for a good 3.5, almost 4 rounds. And then he dominates the last round. He's obviously got great cardio, but he's got to be able to kick it in another gear. And frankly, when he had Yagan hurt in the third round, why did he not try to finish him? I mean, he just didn't pursue the way you would expect he would pursue when you know you're behind on the cards.
I don't remember if they did show any of his corner of what they were saying. Like, were they telling him that he won one of those first two? I thought the first two were pretty clear. Yeah, he definitely won the third, but again, 10-point must. I mean, it is what it is, love it or hate it. It's not like they didn't know what system they were under when they stepped in the octagon. If you barely win two rounds and then get your butt kicked in the third, as long as none of them are 10-8, you still win. That's, you know, it is what it is. That's a 10-point must.
So, I mean, I think Hominick's got to, I mean, he's got to come back to the table. He's got to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to get past the slow starts. You know, and we saw it. We see it affect a lot of fighters. I think Cowboy Cerrone was the latest, you know, intonation of that problem. When you can't start slow in any fight, but you definitely can't start slow against a Diaz brother. So, we get some fighters that really got to come back and figure out what they're going to do.
You look at Mark Hominick has not won a fight since he had Sean Tompkins. Sean Tompkins was with him during that Jose Aldo fight. We had Sean Tompkins on after that particular event. And at that point in time, Mark Hominick's stock looked sky high. He just took the guy. Well, I say he took. He won that fifth round, and I thought, you know, maybe he was going to finish Jose Aldo. And at that point in time, he looked like one of the top two or three in that division. Doesn't seem the case now. He's lost three in a row. How does he get back on course?
You just don't know. I mean, you don't know what makes a guy tick.
A lot of times when you get into a situation like Hominick's looking at right now, it's maybe not a bad idea. You know, we're not that far removed from the Tompkins. Change gyms, change weight class, change something. You know, sometimes you just got to retool it.
And maybe
I shrugged my shoulders. They can't see that. Yeah. I shrugged my shoulders.
Jeremy says so as he
We need some kind of narrator. Jeremy shrugs his shoulders.
We need the guy from Deadliest Catch. We need the guy from Deadliest Catch. He does a good job.
Oh, yeah. Or the guy from Swamp People. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm Pierre Butler Radio.
But I'd rather scratch my own eyes out than have the guy from Top Shot do it.
I've never seen it.
Well, there's a good reason. Mm. Okay. But I digress. We moved down to the next fight. This one, we all got right. I don't know if any of us really knew for sure how devastatingly it was going to end. But Miguel Torres taking on Michael McDonald, Michael Mayday McDonald. Man, I mean, I'm glad I didn't get up to, like, go to the bathroom at the beginning of this fight because it was over in a heartbeat.
What's up with bad haircut meets a mullet? I mean, that is one of the most hideous haircuts I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if I'd give my enemy that haircut. And if I did, it would be to really, really hurt his self-esteem. Is that bad to say?
Maybe Miguel's really just business in the front and,
well, don't matter because you're
partying in the back.
Well, I just thought you were going to talk some smack and
call,
I was just going to stick
Missouri
you on
compromise.
Him. Missouri compromise. Business in the front. It wasn't business in the front. It's got my hair cut with a dull butter knife in the front and party in the back.
I think that's one of those things where if you're a professional fighter, you can do whatever you want. You can have whatever haircut you so please.
Gotcha. And then that makes sense. Just don't get it.
Who's going to tell
the
him
white
otherwise?
Walls on the side, the little hair on the
pounds.
Yeah. It's almost like,
well, I mean, he did make $32,000 in that fight. He should be able to afford at least a Flobee where he can get like the full on buzz cut going on. I'll cut the guy's hair for him.
I'll tell you, I had a few MMA novices over to the joint to watch the show this week, and the post fight interview of Michael McDonald, the ladies loved it. They're like, "Oh, he's so sweet." Michael's like, "Ah, so much fun! I love it! Whee!"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh,
yeah."
That kid's gonna be a star, man. He's a fighter. You know,
he is.
He's a fighter. We talked to him on here before. He's got a great personality. I don't see ego being a problem. I don't see drugs or alcohol being a problem. Michael McDonald's one of those. If there's a draft, you take him early. He seems like a can't miss. You know,
Michael Mayday McDonald, one of the fighters for Impact Fight Management and Tom Call. That's what we're talking here on MMA Lockup, UFC 145. Make sure you check out the website, MMALockup.com. We're also Facebook and Twitter at MMA Lockup. Michael Mayday McDonald, you're right, Jeremy. I thought that he would get a title shot after this, or at least in the discussion. You've got to somewhat discuss the guy. Defeated Miguel Torres, the former WEC champion just a couple years ago. A lot of people's pound-for-pound fighter on the planet. Where does this put him?
It's got to put him up there. I mean, how many people are even in that weight class? You know what I mean? Like, he's maybe not super well-known by the general public, but how many people in that weight class really are? I think he's got to be right in the running. Dana White and Joe Silva know who Michael McDonald is, you know, even if maybe the general public hasn't 100% caught on yet. I think it gets close. His one loss is what, Cole Escovedo? Is that right?
Which he defeated
Which
him.
He then came back and got. So it's
right.
Like, what do you take away from Michael McDonald? Maybe you give him one more shot. I don't know who in that class is still sort of floating, but maybe you give him one more shot and then get him in there.
And, you know, to his credit, that loss was early in his career. What was he, 14? I mean, come on, give him a break.
I think
does it count?
I think he was actually in detention that the day before or something. I don't know.
Did he beat him up outside school? I mean, is that where his loss
came? They
fought
under the elm tree by the playground, I heard.
Gotcha.
Well, and, you know, that elm tree's claimed a lot of good fighters. You just never know. But, well, you know, you've got Dominic Cruz and Uriah Faber taking each other on again at the end of the Ultimate Fighter Live. I say he takes the loser of that fight to qualify for a title fight with Dominic Cruz. I would gladly bet money on McDonald to win the fight against Cruz.
Really?
I mean, just because I'm ready for someone. I'm ready for Dominic Cruz to either finish a fight or get finished. And I think McDonald's the kind of guy that's gonna push the pace. Either he's gonna finish Cruz or he's gonna lose convincingly.
It's so hard to fight Cruz. It's hard to say that anybody would or would not beat Cruz. You know what I mean? Because you don't really know how anybody's gonna match up with him until they're in there. He's Mr. Game Plan, Mr. Angles, Mr. Stay Away. So unorthodox. Like, everything he does is just like, I figured out what you do and I filled in the holes. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's tough. I'd like to see it though. I'd watch it right now.
You know, the interesting thing that I find about Dominic Cruz is, you know, there's a huge number of people in present company not excluded that complain about the way George St. Pierre wins fights, right? I mean, it feels like he's boring.
No, I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People say that Dominic Cruz is an exciting fighter. All that Dominic Cruz is he's George St. Pierre with a nervous tick. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
There's two differences. One, he's not French-Canadian, which in the United States of America 2012 means more than it probably should.
True.
Second of all, his stalling comes on the feet. And
but so does George St. Pierre. He's won four fights with a jab.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't think people usually give him too much trouble. Like, the Koscheck fight, he didn't finish him, but, like, come on. How could you not enjoy that? He just beat the crap out of him.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think you get a little bit more leeway, leniency, or whatever if your stalling comes on the feet, even though there's really not a nickel's worth of difference where you're...
Right.
Which, it's not stalling. I'm the poster child for complaining about this. It's not stalling. It's just, it's not always advancing, which to me is the point of the sport. But, you know, winning's probably important too.
Well, it is. But, I mean, the thing for me is, I mean, tell me he beat Faber any more convincingly than GSP beat Shields.
No, you can't.
You
no,
can't.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of six in one and half a dozen in the other. So, I mean, one has kind of a herky-jerky style. The other one's more methodical and you know, but in the end, to me, they're the same fighter. Neither one of them finish fights, but they dominate their opponent, or they at least dominate enough rounds to win, retain their championship. But
Ennis, I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to come back to that. We're going to pay the bills. Folks, make sure you check out the website, MMALockup.com. We're also Facebook and Twitter at MMA Lockup. More UFC 145 action when we get back.
You're listening to MMA Lockup, Northwest Arkansas's authority on the sport of mixed martial arts.